Welcome back, everyone, to the Ikoria and C20 Marathon. We're recording a lot of episodes back-to-back, but, Young Pyromancer's Podcast. I'm your host, Ezra, and Charlie, Mr. Graveyard.
Why am I looking at hand sanitizer? Hello.
A.K.A. Mr. Hand Sanitizer, and then we have Miles, Mr. Orzov, also here.
Thought I was Mr. Aristocrats.
Oh, it's the same thing, whatever.
Fair.
Orzov, aristocrat player. Likes destroying and killing things.
Anyways, I'm either aristocrat or I'm Stompy. I'm one of the two.
One of the two. Yeah, today is Miles' favorite colors. It's green, white, and black. Obzon, Symbiotic Swarm, the Commander 20 deck. It's all about keyword counters. So, let's just talk about the list. Why don't you read Cathrall, Charlie?
Okay, so Cathrall has a lot of words, so bear with me here.
Cathrall is our...
If you don't understand what he says, I'll sum it up for you. Keyword soup.
Yep, so Cathrall Aspect Warper is 2, a white, a black, and a green for a 3/3 legendary creature, Nightmare Insect. When Cathrall Aspect Warper enters the battlefield, put a flying counter on any creature you control if a creature card in your graveyard has flying. Repeat this process for First Strike, Double Strike, Death Touch, Hexproof, Indestructible, Lifelink, Menace, Reach, Trample, and Vigilance. Then, put a +1/+1 counter on Cathrall for each counter put on a creature this way.
So, basically, when Cathrall enters, put counters, like, move all the keywords from your graveyard onto creatures that are in play. Then make
almost
Cathrall
all.
Huge.
All of the, right, like, almost, basically all. evergreen keywords except for haste.
Yeah, because there's no such thing as haste counters. Also flash counters don't exist, because they don't really work. But, the point of our deck is to get out creatures, but then also do lots of stuff with the graveyard. So, I'll go ahead and I'll read our backup commander, our secondary commander is Taim, Luminous Enigma. Taim is 1 white, black, and a green for legendary creature Nightmare Beast, 3/3. Each other creature you control enters the battlefield with an additional vigilance counter on it. Also has 3 and pay 3, remove 3 counters from among creatures you control, and then put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard, then return a permanent card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. So everything gets vigilance when they enter, and then also if you remove 3 counters and pay 3, then you mill 3, and then you get to put a permanent with converted mana cost 3 or less from the graveyard to the battlefield. And if that wasn't great enough, and enough 3s, times the 3/3.
Yeah, this is also a very cool commander.
Right.
I really like it.
I don't think we play it as the main commander of the
deck. I think they're slightly different decks, really.
Yeah, and then the last card is Nikala, Lair Scavenger. Nikala is 2 and a partner set. Nikala is 2 and a black, legendary creature, human cleric, partner with Yannick, Scavenging Sentinel. And then Menace, and whenever another creature you control leaves the battlefield, if it had 1 or more counters on it, you draw a card and you lose 1 life. And a 2/2. Partners with...
Yannick, Scavenging Sentinel. Yep, so Yannick is 2, a green, and a white for a 3/3 legendary creature, Hyena Beast, partner with Nikara, Lair Scavenger, with Vigilance, and when Yannick, Scavenging Sentinel, enters the battlefield, exile another creature you control until Yannick leaves the battlefield. When you do, distribute X +1/+1 counters among any number of target creatures, where X is the exiled creature's power.
Alright. Yeah, so this deck looks not too different than you'd expect from a basic Abzan reanimator deck. So it's quite similar, actually, to a Kirador type list, except you've also got some of the this keyword stuff. So we have stuff like aerial responder is one white creature dwarf soldier flying vigilance lifelink 2/3. So we're playing this for its keywords so that when it gets milled,
also because it's really good,
we can move those all to Cathrall, and then Cathrall. If Cathrall's our only creature, but the other things are in the graveyard, then we have a 6/6. Cathrall becomes a 6/6 with flying vigilance and lifelink, and that's absurd. Like, I'd play that any day of the week. 5 mana, 6/6, flying vigilance, lifelink.
Yeah, and for that's 5 mana.
Cool. Right, and even better is if we just randomly mill a card like Akroma, Angel of Wrath. Akroma is 5 white. So 8 mana total, legendary creature angel, 6/6. Flying, first strike, vigilance, trample, haste, protection from red, protection from black. So I don't think we get the protection because it doesn't say protection. Yeah, there's no such thing as protection.
We get, but we all still, those other things. The important thing is haste, that she has a lot of relevant keywords, right, nonetheless.
Also, similar to Aerial Responder, Vampire Nighthawk, which is 1 black for a 2/3 flying, death touch, and lifelink.
Right, so the exact same as Aerial Responder, except has Death Touch instead of Vigilance. So
basically, it's just the black version of them.
Yeah.
Except Vampire Nighthawk first before Aerial Responder. And then one other example of a keyword soup card that we want to end up in our graveyard is Zatalpa Primal Dawn. Zatalpa, 6 white for a legendary creature, Elder Dinosaur, flying, double strike, vigilance, trample, indestructible, 4/8.
I don't think there are indestructible counters, are there?
There are indestructible counters, actually.
Oh,
We can make Cathrall indestructible. Imagine casting Cathrall on turn 4, and then we end up with
milling the Talpa.
Well, we mill the Talpa before, right? So turn 2, we cast something like Grizzly Salvage, which will put the Talpa into a graveyard. So then we end up with a so Cathrall's a 3/3, but then we'll become an 8/8. With double strike, vigilance, trample, and flying, and indestructible.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. That's
a scary thought.
Not worrisome for our opponents at all.
It's not like on turn 4 we could just do 16 damage or anything.
Or like turn 5 or yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So one thing that we've kind of noticed on this deck is, there's like it's fine, but there's definitely some cards that don't really synergize with our strategy a lot. So that those are some of the cards that we're gonna end up removing, or like cards that didn't end up with enough keyword cards, or stuff that just doesn't synergize with what we're trying to do. So we remove them and put in more cards to help further our strategy of put stuff in the graveyard and then put lots of keyword counters on our creatures.
To be fair, though, this deck, for me at least, was one of the it was better built than I think the other ones.
Yeah. I think this is out of the box going to be one of the, I don't know if it's going to be more powerful, but it's a better built deck.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. We don't like Cathrall isn't necessarily a stronger commander than say Kalamax, but this deck, like all or near all of the cards feel like they're in the right place. And it just feels like all the cards are put together well, and everything works together except for a few impetuses or something of the sort.
Speaking of impetuses,
hang on. Before we move in, were talking about Kalamax. We missed a very critical interaction with Kalamax in our episode, in our teamer episode. So if you're going back to listen to that, we're gonna put that in the episode description now to update it, but we missed a key interaction with Kalamax and clones. Not clones, with copy spells. So fork and twin spells. So we have a card in there that's like Increasing Vengeance. And then, so Increasing Vengeance, basically you can pay red, and then you can copy an instant or sorcery that's on the stack. So, hang on, let me just pull it up. Increasing Vengeance is red for an instant. Copy target instant or sorcery spell you control. If this spell was cast from a graveyard, copy that spell twice instead. You may choose new targets for the copies, and then also flashback for 3 red. But what we can do is, let's say, so we attack with Kalamax, right? So Kalamax is tapped, And as long as Calamax's commander is tapped, we can any spell that we cast gets copied. So, instant spell. So let's say we pass the tone, and then let's say it goes. I'm playing Calamax, and I pass the tone to Miles. Miles does whatever, passes to Luke. Luke does whatever, passes to Charlie. Charlie casts a Cultivate, or he casts a Kodama's Reach, or he casts an Opt, or he tries to counterspell something. We can Increasing Vengeance. So I'll cast Increasing Vengeance, targeting Charlie's Kodama's Reach or Farseek, and then the copy. So Calamax copies it because it's tapped. We with the second Increasing Vengeance, we copy our own Increasing Vengeance. And then with the new Increasing Vengeance copy, we copy the original Increasing Vengeance. And then each Increasing Vengeance just copies another Increasing Vengeance. So we get into this infinite loop. It doesn't get us anywhere.
Well, eventually unless we have something that triggers when we copy a spell, like
Calamax.
Yeah, or
Calamax then becomes infinitely large. So that's the key. And then we can cast something like
Raoul wins the game.
Yep, Raoul while we do that. Chandra's Ignition. Casting Chandra's Ignition on the on Calamax once we get infinitely large.
So I do this a million times. So Calamax is now a 1 million, 1 million. And then I'm gonna copy the Farseek again so I get out of this loop. And anyone wanna concede now?
That's really strong.
This was all brand new, and then we realized this. I realized this after we recorded, so like, we should have thought of that. So, I mean, you could just definitely, like, our build ended up being fine, even with the Calamax, even missing that Calamax interaction. But, it's just worth noting for people who are going to build Calamax decks. All right, back to Symbiotic Swarm. Let's get into it with our 10 in, 10 out.
Alright, the first one that Ezra so rudely interrupted me on is Martial Impetus. It is 2 and a white for an enchantment aura. Enchant creature, enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and is goaded. Whenever enchanted creature attacks, each other creature that's attacking one of your opponents gets +1/+1 until end of turn. It's not very good. Does it synergize with the graveyard?
It's fine, it's just not synergistic.
Yeah, we've kind of established that some of the Impetuses are slightly weak, and this is one of the weaker ones, and there's definitely better cards we can play in the deck. Kind of established this kind of idea already.
Charlie's done having us beat up on his baby Impetuses. Just shutting down
the conversation. I think the blue and red Impetuses get...
Yeah, I agree.
In green, get less credit than they deserve, but the black and white Impetuses do not hold their own weight.
Well, white is good in the in aggro
white
decks.
Is a situationally good Impetus.
Yeah, I mean, we could argue about these Impetuses for a while, but basically, play them in the right decks. I don't think this is the right deck for them. It's just pretty simple, like in that. All right, yeah, gonna
Parasitic Impetus is just kind of weak, though.
Yeah, we're gonna replace it with Heartless Troll, which is a black and a green for a creature zombie troll. 2/1 trample has discard a creature card, put a +1/+1 counter on Lotlith Troll, and also pay a black, regenerate Lotlith Troll.
Yeah, Lotlith Troll is kind of a pretty well-known card. It's very, very good. The ability to at instant speed make Lotlith Troll potentially very large and put cards into your graveyard, which is a synergy with Cathril. It's just a really good card, and for only 2 mana, and it has the ability to regenerate itself, it's really good. And if it does go to your graveyard and you don't regenerate it, it has trample, so it's just a really good
card. Regenerate means you, the next time it would die this turn, you instead return it to the battlefield, or you instead tap it, remove it from combat, and remove all damage from it. It's just no longer being used on new cards in favor of gains indestructible until end of turn, because it's easier to grasp. Regenerate should make perfect sense, but just the way it worked with rules interactions and new players, it was just too confusing. So they're replacing it with gains indestructible until end of turn. So regenerate still remains on all of the cards. It hasn't been eroded or anything, but that is a code that, or a keyword that you're gonna need if you're playing Commander, because we play with older cards that do have this regenerate keyword. But yeah, I think Law of Troll is good because we can discard creature cards, which is exactly what we want to do.
Yeah, say you get your Zatalpa in your opening hand, and the first thing you're gonna discard is Zatalpa.
So yeah. Like a game plan could be turn one, whatever. Turn two, Lotless Troll.
Turn one, Sol Ring.
Hopefully, yes.
Turn one, Ramp. Turn one, Ramp. We'll just say that.
Well, I don't think we have a lot of... Oh, we did... No, we don't really end up with a lot of turn one, Ramp, so I think it's just only Sol Ring. But then...
Sol Ring, and then we add one.
Hmm?
We added one.
But that's at three. Oh, we did add one. Yeah, that's true. But anyways, Ramp on one. Turn two, Lotless Troll. Turn three, let's see, where's our turn three? Oh, Commander Sphere. So that would ramp us. And then also, well, no, that's it. And then turn four, we cast Catherine. And with Catherine on the stack, we discard Zatalpa. So then when Catherine enters the battlefield, Catherine can, well, we can put all of those stuff on Lotless Troll, or we can put them all on Catherine. That would actually be a good interaction if we dumped, like, five creatures that all had a ton of keywords. Lotless Troll becomes gigantic.
But can also then regenerate.
We also put all of those counters on it. So Lotless Troll can attack, and it's huge, and it's trampoly already. I think that's a very cool interaction. So, like, turn four, we could be swinging for, like, 18 damage lifelink.
18 damage on turn four seems good. Seems good.
Just it was, a little. I deal half of your health, and I'm now almost at 60 life.
Seems decent.
Okay, yep, we're removing Parasitic Impetus in favor of Arboreal Grazer.
Yep, so we've talked about Parasitic Impetus. It is another one in the cycle. It's two and a black for an aura. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and is goaded. So it attacks each combat of Fable and attacks a player other than you of Fable. And whenever enchanted creature attacks, its controller loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. So we've kind of established that this is 3 mana for some form of enchantment removal. But, Murder. Yeah, there are better impetuses in that secondary effect of they losing 2 life, your opponent losing 2 life, and you gaining 2 life is just fairly underwhelming, especially in Commander in a format with 40 life.
Right. And then we're going to put in Arboreal Grazer.
Arboreal Grazer is a green for a creature beast, 0/3, with reach. When Arboreal Grazer enters the battlefield, you may play a land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped. There's not much going on with this card. It's just good ramp.
And then later, a good body to dump stuff onto because it's already a 0/3 with reach. So, like, we already have a good
toughness. Maybe not even dump onto, maybe dump into the graveyard to get something reach.
Oh, that's true. That's why we put that in there. Because, it's not going to get a PT boost. So. Right. So it's good ramp, but then also has double utility, and it could give something reach if it somehow ends up in the graveyard. All right. Moving on, we have Predatory. We're taking out Predatory Impetus. 4 and a green, enchantment aura, enchanted creature gets +3/+3, must be blocked available, and is goaded. Just not what we want to be doing at 5 mana, especially because we have Cathral at 5 mana.
This is so the one that makes me sad.
Yeah, but we have Cathral at 5 mana. We have better things to be doing on whenever we wanted to play our 5-drop. So I think this card just comes out because it's just not as strong as the other cards that we can put in this deck, such as Leyline Prowler.
Yep, so Leyline Prowler is 1 a black and a green for a 2/3 creature, Nightmare Beast, with Death Touch and Lifelink. And Leyline Prowler can tap to add 1 mana of any color. So, this kind of makes me sad because Predatory Impetus is probably my favorite one. But, Predatory Impetus being 5 mana is really awkward with Cathral. And Leyline Prowler is a good card to get Cathral out on turn 4, as well as having pretty relevant keywords in Death Touch and Lifelink. So, Those are both good. So next up here, another card that we've repeatedly hated on, and possibly with reason.
And we're not going to stop hating on it because it's just bad.
I Charlie also agrees on this one. So like it's just
drum roll, Honor's please. Ornament.
Honor's Ornament. I'm ruining your moment.
Come on. Whatever. I was gonna hype up this terrible card. Bonder's Ornament, three mana for an artifact. Tap, add one mana of any color. Four mana to tap it. Each player who controls a permanent named Bonder's Ornament draws a card.
Bleh. It's just a maybe slightly better mana list.
It's a very meh. Like,
right.
It's a very meh mana rock.
It's just a
with a potential downside.
Right, maybe it even like gives your opponent's card, so like
like feels worse than Manalith too, because it's like, I don't want to play this card, it has a bad ability, whereas when you look at Manalith, you're like, oh, it's okay, it's nice and it's clean, tells you what it does.
At three mana, we have so many better options, especially when we're playing green.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And budget's budget's not even like an issue. Because we have colors like Far Wanderings, which are two and a green, Sorcery, and search your library for a basic land card. Put that card onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. But also as Threshold, if seven or more cards are in your graveyard, instead search your library for up to three basic land cards. Put them onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library. Hopefully we have Threshold. We're playing a graveyard deck. We want to be self-milling already. If we can pay three mana to get three lands, that's just like ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really good. But,
all right, yeah, enough said. Helps us get out Cathedral turn four. And, yep.
Good in the deck, kills your graveyard. Or in a deck, kills the graveyard.
Incorrectly placed planeswalkers is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of upset because they put one planeswalker in every deck, which is like part of their new commander gimmick, but like they chose terrible ones. I liked the Mardu one. I like Nahiri in the Mardu deck. I also like Chandra Flamecaller in the Jeskai deck, but like there was like a weird Jace in there that made no sense. That had no synergy with the Sultai deck. Anyways, yep, just put in better ones. Like, could we have like gotten like a Johnny Mentor of Heroes? It's like $7.50 or something. I love its ultimate. You gain 100 life.
It's just so funny. But in this deck,
it's pretty much a meme, but it's a lot of money, but then it also puts +1/+1 counters on it. On stuff, which is like synergy, but instead we get this code.
Yeah, Ajani Unyielding. So Ajani Unyielding is four, a green and a white for a planeswalker. Ajani starts with four loyalty. You can +2 Ajani to reveal the top three cards of your library. Put all non-land permanent cards revealed this way into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. Then -2, exile target creature. Its controller gains life equal to its power. And lastly, -9, put 5 +1/+1 counters on each creature you control and 5 loyalty counters on each other planeswalker you control.
So I think this is the ultimate is the justification for putting in this deck. But like, come on.
No planeswalker's ever getting to his ultimate in Commander.
Right, especially
this is a 6 mana planeswalker that takes 5 it takes 3 turns to get to its ultimate, and it's fine. It's like 6 mana, you get 2 paths. That's it.
This is they reprinted a 90-cent card. Congratulations.
Yeah, one other thing, I was like, it just doesn't feel good with the deck, because like the +2 doesn't even put cards in your graveyard, puts them on the bottom of your library.
I'm just going to look for how many I'd be fine with like anything synergizing with the graveyard. Okay, I'm going to find all the Abzan planeswalkers that are under like $10 and synergize with the graveyard, because I'm sure there's a lot.
All right, well, as we're doing that, we replaced Ajani with Fae Burrow Elder. Fae Burrow Elder is one green and a white for a creature, tree folk, druid, 0/0, and it's got vigilance. Fae Burrow Elder gets +1/+1 for each color among permanents you control. And then you can tap him, and for each color among permanents you control, add one mana of that color.
yeah, it's just good ramp. It can sometimes ramp us for multiple. Also good for getting
past. It's always going to land us, ramp us for multiple, because it alone is green white.
Two. So it'll tap for two.
Right, exactly. And then we're almost always going to have a black card out.
Yeah. So, I have our answer about Abs and Planeswalkers, and I found multiple cards that would have been better. Liliana Death's Majesty. 3 black legendary creature Liliana. Starts with 5 loyalty. +1. Create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. Put the top 2 cards of your library into your graveyard. There's our ramp. Also a body for tokens. Oh, for counters. For keyword counters. -3. Return target creature from your graveyard to the battlefield. That creature is a black zombie in addition to its other colors and types. We're putting stuff in the graveyard, and we want to reanimate giant things out of the graveyard. Zatalpa. And then also, -7, destroy all non-zombie creatures. Why? Why was this not in the deck? It just got reprinted in Mystery Booster. It's only $2.45. Like, come on.
It's not that hard.
And it was printed all the way back in Amonkhet. Like, I know they're not doing stuff from, like, Eldraine, because Eldraine wasn't out when they were designing these decks. But, like, seriously, who at Upper Corp was like, at Hasbro or something, it was like, no, you can't reprint Liliana because the Amonkhet printing is $10. It's like, no, you can't do that. It's self-mill. We already like it. Even Soul and Lord of Innistrad is fine. Liliana Untouched by Death would have been a fine one. That's M19. Like, a Johnny Adversary of Tyrants reanimates small stuff out of the graveyard.
Yeah, there's
point
just
is,
so many.
They chose a bad Planeswalker.
Yeah.
Again.
And then Liliana Vest would have been fine. Like, there's so many choices, and none of them are exorbitantly costed. Like, I'm not asking them to reprint a $25 Planeswalker. Like, if you don't want to reprint Ugin the Spirit Dragon, fine. But give us, like, a $5 reprint. It's like, I don't see the issue with reprinting Liliana or reprint equity and all. I don't know. Okay, well, let's move into our next 5. Kalemne's Captain is the next card coming out. Kalemne's Captain is 3 white for a creature, giant, soldier, 5/5 with vigilance, and then 5 white monstrosity 3. So if it isn't monstrous, put 3 1/1 counters on it, and it becomes monstrous. And when it becomes monstrous, exile all artifacts and enchantments. It's just so slow.
So expensive. How much so mana? Expensive.
12 mana just to exile all the... So, do you really want to be paying 12 mana for an 8/8 vigilance, and when it becomes monstrous? Oh, and then exile all artifacts and enchantments? Like, I'd rather just play, like, stuff that would just, like, mill us for more.
I can think of 2 mana green spells that destroy all enchantments.
Back to Nature?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know if that's the card name, but I can check it out if need be.
Read Mind Rack Demon.
Yeah, so we're going to replace it with a card that fits better into our deck and Mind Rack Demon. So Mind Rack Demon is 2 black for a 4/5 creature demon with flying and trample. When Mind Rack Demon enters the battlefield, put the top 4 cards of your library into your graveyard. And Mind Rack Demon has Delirium, so at the beginning of your upkeep, you lose 4 life unless there are 4 or more card types among cards in your graveyard.
Well, so, most of the time we're self-milling a lot. So
yeah, so we shouldn't be losing life, but if we lose 4 life a few times, it's not great, but it's not the end of the world either. As well as this being a 4-mana 4/5 with flying and trample, which is a pretty decent...
Relevant keywords for the graveyard as well.
Yeah. So... this is just a pretty solid card in the deck, and the downside is could plausibly deal us damage, but it won't be the end of the world if we lose 8 life to it. And yep. It is relatively unlikely as well as that will happen.
And the card that Charlie was thinking of was Back to Nature, which is 1 in a green, instant, destroy all enchantments. Like, we could have even played that. Like, this hits artifacts as well, but, like, there's better cards than Kalemne's Captain. Like, even if we wanted to board wipe more for stuff like that, we have better options.
I mean, we are playing in white, which is the board wipe color.
It's nothing else, but yes, it is the board wipe color. But not even really that much.
I mean, it's got the best board wipes.
Yeah, I think, but blue has the best board wipe in Commander. Cyclonic Rift is the best board wipe in Commander.
Yeah. You're right.
So, like, it's not... And then Mardu just got a very good board wipe with the ultimatum, but, like... Alright, anyways, the next card we are removing is Void Wanderer. I mean, sorry, Void
Beckoner. I think it's
okay. Yeah, no, I was looking at it, I'm like, there's no card in the deck that's named that.
Oh, my bad.
We're good.
Okay, but... Wait, hang on, I have one little side note. Void Beckoner, it's alternate. Like, you know, they're doing all these, like, Godzilla things.
Yeah.
With all, like, the Kaiju for the... With the partnership with Toho. But, this card's name was Space Godzilla Death Corona, which is, like, a very unfortunate name because of, like, this COVID thing.
Death Corona. Like, those are going to be
expensive, though, like the Death Coronas. Because they're going to be, like, collector items. Because they do normally, like, a few print runs for these. But for the, like, the first print run, they couldn't fix it. So there's going to be a bunch of Space Godzilla with Death Coronas running around, which is, like, a very unfortunate name because it's, like, it's Death Corona. Just
a little awkward.
Right. So Wizards is, like, we changed it. It's now Space Godzilla Void Renderer or something. I don't know.
Something worse.
It's not as cool sounding as Death Corona, except,
How about Space Godzilla, Corona of Death?
Yeah, that's not any...
Pneumonia of Death.
Now that is good.
Man, we're just funny. We're just really funny people here. Oh, I
see. They're not even going to try to rename it. They're just removing it. They're just telling the print company, don't print it anymore. So they renamed it Space Godzilla Void Invader for Arena. Which is a stupid name. Void Invader.
Void Invader does not sound quite as cool.
I like Death Corona more, but
yeah, whatever. Me too.
We can't name it Death Corona anymore. Alright, we're going to replace the Void Beckoner.
Void Beckoner is 6 black for a creature, Nightmare Horror, 8/8 with Death Touch and cycling for 2 and a black. And when you cycle Void Beckoner, put a Death Touch counter on target creature you control.
It's fine. It's just not. It's just slow. Also, not what we really want to be doing. We want to be self milling so that we can put the big stuff and put lots of keyword counters, not just like a singular Death Touch counter. I think it's just a little bit slow. Like, especially at the 8 mana count, we have like better. We have better options all the way up there.
If it was 6 mana for a 6/6 and did the same thing, it'd be a lot better. Or it cycled for 2.
Yeah, and then also, this deck's mana curve is, like, really high. So we wanted to really bring down the mana curve. And also, if you look at the deck list, there's exactly 1/1 drop, which is, like, an issue. Because we really do want to be playing stuff on turn 1. So as a result, we put in another 1 drop, as well as Arboreal Grazer is a 1 drop. Healer's Hawk. You can also put in another version of this Segovian Angel. But it's not the exact same, but Healer's Hawk is a white mana for a creature bird, 1/1, and also it's flying and lifelink. Segovian Angel is almost the exact same. It's just an angel, but instead of lifelink, it has vigilance. So both pretty good 1-mana spells that you can just drop in there. They're both 18 cents.
So it's really up to you whether you want lifelink or vigilance.
Right. I mean, this is supposed to not be like, you have to buy these exact 10 things. We're just giving you some suggestions to level this deck up. Bring it from like a 5 or 6 on the power level to a, maybe not 5 or 6, 3 or 4 to a 6 or 7 maybe? 5 or 6? 5 to 7. So that I can actually play, punch up into more normal metas. Let's move to our next giant thing that we're taking out.
Yeah, so the next giant thing we're taking out, as Ezra foreshadowed, is Titanoth Rex. So Titanoth Rex is 7 green for a 11-11 dinosaur beast with trample and cycling for one and a green. And when you cycle Titanoth Rex, put a trample counter on target creature you control. And this creature, on the other hand, its alternate character from Ikoria is Godzilla Primeval Champion, which does not have quite as many negative connotations.
Space Godzilla Coronavirus? Space Godzilla COVID-19?
Yeah,
this one's better. This one's better. I like this more than Void Beckner.
Yeah, it cycles for two, but it's
slower.
You don't really want to cast this card. It's a 9-mana creature with no relevant like ETBs or anything, and it dies to Doomblade, so.
It dies to most things.
Doesn't die to Bullet though.
I cast my 9-mana 11-11 cancel.
Oh yeah, there's all the people on Reddit who are like, we need to ban Dranith Magistrate, which we'll be talking about on our Ikoria set review coming up soon in the next few days. But people are like, dude, just play Lightning Bolt. It's like, this is Commander, we don't run Lightning Bolt, we don't run removal. It's like, come on, run removal, Doomblade.
Cast it's his Commander, we don't run removal, then you're not cast playing Commander right.
Well, you're not playing Magic right if you don't run removal. They're like, it's a casual format. Well, if you want to, like, have fun, then you remove the big scary things so that it's, like, a back and forth. Like, if you're playing a game of, like, no one's going to be, like, if they're playing, like, Fortnite. It's like, we're having fun, I'm not going to shoot you.
that's kind of one of the largest pitfalls of, or one of the most harmful, like, thought processes that Magic players have that makes them really mad is that they're like, I'm going to do my game plan, and everyone else is going to do their game plan, and no one is going to affect anyone else's game plan, because my game plan is very fragile, and it wins quickly, but if there's any interaction, I lose. And I'm going to get mad because someone is going to play interaction.
Well, this is how we feel. We run pieces of removal. We instruct our listeners, run 10 pieces of removal, total. So board wipes and targeted removal, like at around least. 10 to 15 total. Like at least, right? We want you to run more. Like, and if you're running less board wipes, run more targeted removal. If you're running less targeted removal, run more board wipes. So, but like,
yeah, I can think of like,
I don't care if someone combos off on turn 5. You just shuffle up and play again.
Yeah, I can't think of any decks that are like an exception. Like even CEDH, they play lots and lots of removal. They play good card draw. They play very cheap interaction like Flusterstorm and 1-minute counterspells and Force of Wills. Yeah. But they play tons and tons of interaction because they understand that the important thing to understand is that you can't win the game if your opponents have interaction. And your opponents can't win if you have interaction. And their it's game
like
is
before. You try the tactic,
yeah,
and then they it's like strike counter strike, and then whoever wins the war, whoever comes up ahead wins. Like that's the fun of Magic, and by not running removal, you kind of
right.
like cut it
and
out.
Like okay,
it's like I'm playing solitaire. That's what the term that a lot of Magic players use. You're playing solitaire. You take your 20-minute turn, and no one does any interaction. And then the next person takes their 20-minute turn. Like that's not fun. It's just not that fun. Like, I mean, we're not going to instruct you how to play your game. Like, if that's how you want to play, then yeah, go ahead. But, like, how we play, we run removal. And our games don't go for 45 hours. I mean, like, because then you don't have, like, two people with, like, gigantic boards and no one's doing anything because no one wants to attack. No, you board wipe, you come straight out of the gate, and then you win.
I remember I went to camp and no one actually had a decent deck. Like there wasn't enough removal. They were like running the good old fashioned 3-mana 3/2s. And I'm over here with my Tesa Aristocrats deck just destroying everybody.
Not Commander, but yeah.
I know.
It's like
not Commander, but like still it doesn't just apply to Commander.
So yeah, run more removal. That's the moral of the story. But we're going to replace it with a removal. We're going to replace Titanoth Rex with a removal. Some pseudo-removal spell. We're going to replace it with Magister of Worth. Magister of Worth is 4 white black for a creature angel flying, and it has 4/4 and has Will of the Council. When Magister of Worth enters the battlefield, starting with you, each player votes for Grace or Condemnation. If Grace gets more votes, then each player returns each creature card from the graveyard to the battlefield. So basically, you reanimate everyone's creatures. If Condemnation gets more votes or the vote is tied, destroy all creatures other than Magister of Worth. If I'm just going to describe this card in one word, it would just be fun. Like,
yeah, all these voting this is really cool
cards, because it's like you get to politic, you get to do fun stuff with your friends, and then you laugh when it's like when they do the Magister Will of the Council, and then you're like to everyone vote for Grace, and then everyone's vote for Condemnation or whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean the chances are that if you want the board to be wiped, the board will probably be wiped. Because, right, because if you vote for condemnation, then one other person needs to vote for it, possibly the person who's also not winning the game, and then the board gets wiped. Or you can vote for Grace, and then you can see what interesting board states come up and what cool, fun things you can that can happen, and you know that just makes the game really exciting because you're interacting with the game in a fun way. I don't know. Right. I kind of got emotional with
Charlie's getting very emotional over here with this no removal.
I thought what you were saying about removal. I was like, it was just very inspiring.
Speaking of no removal, the next card we're removing is Blood Curdle. Blood Curdle is 3 and a black for an instant. Destroy target creature. Put a menace counter on a creature you control.
Bleh. It's 4 mana to destroy a creature. It's fine, but like. Not what we really even want to be doing.
Yeah, I like, mean, we're trying Blood to Curdle is...
Yeah. Agreed.
Yes, there's definitely better removal.
We have more efficient removal as well.
For example, Putrefy. Putrefy is 1, a black and a green for an instant. Destroy target artifact or creature. It can't be regenerated. So this is 3 mana, unconditional artifact or creature removal. So, I mean, it's just 3 mana. If you want to pay 1 mana to get a menace counter, you can do that. But it feels better to play cheaper removal. And this also hits artifacts. I mean, it's just a good card. It's better,
yeah.
Personally, I think.
And if you have the money, you could like even go lower and play Assassin's Trophy, you know?
Right, Assassin's Trophy would be a better add here. Oh wait, D-Spark's already in the deck, so that's a fine one. Anguished Unmaking would be a good card in this slot. So if you have a higher budget, you can do stuff like that. Mortify, if you have one, would also like that's another cheap card. That's kind of similar to Putrefy. It hits either a creature or an enchantment. So we're more artifact heavy meta, like because I play artifact decks. So I think
Soul Ring.
Also Soul Ring, but oftentimes you don't want to spend a removal on a Soul Ring, so I mean maybe not that too much, but yeah, Soul Ring hits Soul Rings. But I think right now Modify is a very good card because people are still playing enchantments hot off the heels of Theros, because that was a set. Everyone's playing enchantments, so Modify might not actually be too bad. But I think Putrefy is going to be better because artifacts are just more common. There are more artifacts on average than enchantments.
Yeah, so enchantments are a little more.
Depends on your play group and also depends what on your colors yep. you're running.
Yep, that's. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, Mimic Vat is our last code.
The last card we are getting rid of is Mimic Vat. Mimic Vat is 3 for an artifact with imprint. Whenever a non token creature dies, you may exile that card. If you do, return each other card exiled with Mimic Vat to its owner's graveyard. You can pay 3 and tap it. Create a token that's a copy of a card exiled with Mimic Vat. It gains haste. Exile it at the beginning of the next end step.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, unless your name is Skullbriar the Walking Grave, this doesn't do anything with our counters or anything. It really not what we want to be doing, because we're not actually looking to sacrifice creatures as much, or like put the creatures from the graveyard or from the battlefield to like the graveyard. So I mean, I just don't think it lines up with what we want to be doing.
This card just makes me feel like meh. It gives me a very meh vibe.
Meh vibe. Demon of Catastrophes is 2 black creature demon. As an additional cost to cast the spell, sacrifice a creature. 6/6 and flying and trample. So relevant keywords as well as, let's say we decide
put Arboreal Grazer in the graveyard.
Well, yeah. When it enters for 4 mana, put it in the graveyard so that we can give Cathal reach because there's a problematic flyer or something. Maybe that's not a great example because Demon of Catastrophes actually has flying. But let's say you put like an Aerial Responder in the graveyard, a Vamp Nighthawk. So you can just put stuff that's on the battlefield that you want in the graveyard. Like that you would rather have in the graveyard, like a Slippery Bog Bonder, which is one of the new codes. We're going to be going over all of our favorite new codes in our C20 set review. That will be after the Ikoria set review. So I think that's lined up to be episode 21. We've got a lot prepared ahead, so I'm not entirely sure what the release schedule is going to look like. But that's our schedule.
Oh, this is episode 17. I don't think we said that.
Oh, that would have been worth saying. But that'll all be in the description.
In title.
Ezra can also paste himself in at the beginning saying, this is episode 17. Yeah. And also, they're Cheerios.
Cookies. Okay, let's do trivia, because, wait, I don't think we did. We missed our trivia.
Guild trivia.
We missed our guild trivia this week. Oh, first trivia question. What comes next after Dimir and the color wheel?
Orzhov.
Nope.
There's an order?
Yep. There's an order. It goes around the color wheel. Black, red, Rakdos. So in the plane of Ravnica, they are supposed to be menial labors and services, and also the food industry. They're supposed to be like the entertainment services of Ravnica, but really they're just like torturers that are just like cultists, and they put a very high premium on personal pleasure, what fun, even if it causes cruel pain to others. So that's black red. If you want more info on all these guilds, check out Mark Rosewater's Drive to Work podcast. He's doing a big segment on, or a,
Ezra, we don't care about lore here. Move on.
No, this isn't lore. I'm talking about another podcast that people should listen to. Mark Rosewater is the head designer of Magic, so he knows more about Magic than we do. So if you actually want to hear from smart people, go listen to that podcast and stop listening to us, and then come back and listen to us.
Ezra, what are you talking about? You're doing Algebra 2. You're smart.
Meh. I'm okay. But I'm still, like, failing the class, but...
I'm okay, failing whatever. Algebra 1 harder than you're failing Algebra 2.
Okay, anyways, moving on, let's go ahead and we'll do some trivia. Who's the Perun? Original Guildmaster.
Rakdos?
Correct. Who's the guild leader?
Rakdos?
Very good. What's the guild hall?
Rakdos.
Close.
What's it called?
Hellfire Pits. I don't know.
Dungeon Palace.
I was on the tip of my tongue.
It has an X in it.
I don't know.
What are we talking about now?
The guild hall where they meet.
Is it the shock land?
No, no, it's the colorless land.
The colorless land.
X?
It taps to add a colorless and one black, red, and tap. Each player discards a code. It was in the, it was reprinted in the Madness deck. R-I-X.
Rix?
Yes.
That's oh, Rix. Rix, Ma-A-D-I.
Yeah, Rix Mahdi. Rix Mahdi, Dungeon Palace. It's a land, taps for colorless. Also one black and red and tap it, and then each player discards a card. Only at a time that you could cast a sorcery. Pretty decent card. Just make everyone discard stuff, especially if you want to be discarding stuff yourself. What are their mechanics?
Unleash.
Yes, Unleash was Return to Ravnica. So that was Ravnica 2. There was also Ravnica 1, Ravnica 3. That's just what we call the Ravnica blocks, because we don't want to call them, like...
Oh,
well, we could call them Return to Ravnica, Guilds of Ravnica, but it's easier to just call them Ravnica 1, Ravnica 2, Ravnica 3. But then also, there's probably going to be a Ravnica 4, because it's a 1 on the Rabaya scale. Which means Wizards is like, yeah, we're definitely going back.
Rectos.
I'm scrolling around on the random card generator, and I happen to get Oko, and I just see banned.
Okay, the first mechanic had to do with cards in hand.
Discard?
Oh. What's it called? Hellbent?
Yes, Hellbent was the one in Dissension. Unleash was Return to Ravnica, and then this last one was Ravnica Allegiance.
Yeah, like...
Very popular
with Rakdos cards. Ravnica Allegiance, just don't know what they are. What is it?
Well, I'll give you hints. It was, it's a big player in Standard. Specifically, one of the cards is very popular in Mono Red Aggro. And it's like a $3 uncommon. And it has Spectacle. Oh, wait, my bad.
It's very Spectacle!
Spectacle.
That's what it is.
Has to do with whether your opponent was dealt life or not. The card is Light Up the Stage. That's a very popular card. Also, Skewer the Critics is a bold.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of pretty good ones.
So three mana, unless your opponent was dealt damage, in which case it's a bolt. It's three damage. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right, can exactly we do the random card competition yet?
Sure, let's do that to finish off.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
I win. Spell Stutter Sprite.
Oh, you're talking about that's a code. What did you get, Ezra?
Dingus Egg. Which is funny, because dingus is actually an expression that I use.
I got a Lockmere Serpent.
Oh, wait. Spellstarter Sprite is the one from Eldraine, or which one is that?
Friday Night Magic. Lockmere
Serpent's a cool card. Oh, well, that's just the promo, but...
Modern Masters.
Dingus Morwin. Egg is
so... Morwin.
Yeah, Morwin. Yeah.
Oh, it's a fairy tribal counters thing. It's the popper card.
Yeah, okay, I know. Dingus Egg is a very, very funny card. It's... so bad. It's a 4-mana artifact that whenever a land is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, it deals 2 damage to that land's controller. This card was all the way back in Alpha, so it's from Alpha.
I can only imagine the combo with this and Ravages of War.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about, but then you kill yourself on accident.
Well, that's why you cast. That's why you gain life.
Staff?
Oh yeah, Dingus Egg, Dingus Staff, and you should also run Angel's Grace so you don't die. Seems fun.
Whenever also a creature's card is put into any graveyard from play, Dingus Staff deals 2 damage to that creature's controller.
Yeah, that's not a very good card. No. Neither of them are very good cards.
But they've got fun names.
Dingus Staff isn't terrible.
That's true. Dingus Staff is fine. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. But Dingus Egg is a bad card. And it's been reprinted like 12 times. Last time it was printed was 8th edition. But it was, and up until then, it was printed in literally every single set. Like, every cool set.
Yeah.
Alpha, Beta, Unlimited, Collectors, Summer Magic, 4th edition, 5th edition, 6th edition, 7th edition, 8th edition. The fact that it got reprinted so many times just makes me sad. But I do like the little thing from the 4th edition, though.
Can we hit the random card generator like again?
On the bottom.
Last time.
It's so fun just clicking the... If you guys haven't done this, just go to scryfall.com/random. Or go to scryfall.com and click the random card button. It's just so fun just to just look through random cards. Because sometimes you can get the silly stuff. Yeah, I got Child of Night from M11. It's one in a black creature vampire lifelink 2/1. Not a very good card.
I got an Imperius Perfect.
Oh, Imperius Perfect, the Elf Tribal card? That's a
good card. I got a Johnny Unyielding.
I got the 4/1.
No! A Johnny Unyielding?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I understand why that's funny, because we were just talking about that card, but we were just crapping on it the entire time.
Not very good. Not very good.
Not a good card.
I got the 4. It's fine.
That is fun. All right, we are done here. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and please like, share, subscribe, or leave a review wherever you can when we're done with this whole coronavirus thing. I was considering that we could hold, once Charlie, Miles, and I can actually interact on a face-to-face basis, we're going to try to hold a giveaway for a signed soul ring or something of the sort. So like we could all signed or unsigned, we'll just mail you a signed or unsigned card, whatever you want, just to help out with distribution and stuff, get us getting out, and yeah, we will see you very soon, because again, lots of content. We're on this podcasting marathon. We're probably gonna record like 4 more episodes right now. So this is number one.
Ezra, first I have to eat lunch before we do that.
You haven't eaten lunch yet?
No.
For reference, guys, it's 3 p.m.
This is my normal lunchtime, Ezra. I ate breakfast at 11.
Me too.
I would have, except I actually got up at a proper time today, which I normally
do. I went to bed at like 1.
Okay.
I was busy watching Narcos Mexico. You can't judge me.
Okay, fine.
Steve.
No judgment.
This is Steve.
Bye.